Welcome to Cat Crazy. I'm Tracy Hotchner, and I am crazy about cats and the people who care for them. I'm here every week with answers to your questions about living with your kitty. My number is 888-429-5471. I want to thank my sponsors. I've invited these companies to be here because I believe in them and use them myself. I hope you'll show your appreciation for their support by becoming a customer yourself. And Whole Life Pet will send you a free sample box of freeze-dried protein treats for cats and dogs if you send me your mailing address to radiopetlady@gmail.com. You can also send me any questions to radiopetlady@gmail.com. There's a whole week's worth of wonderful live pet shows I co-host on our own Radio Pet Lady Network. Stay tuned for Dr. Donna on The Expert Vet right after this show. Cat Crazy is a production of 8 Paws LLC, which is solely responsible for its content. My number again is 888-429-5471. That's 888-429-5471. I'd love to hear from you. And I'd love you to know that I'm here with the official vet of the show, the marvelous, wonderful, and brilliant Dr. Elizabeth Hodgkins. Dr. Elizabeth, thank you yet again for being here with all of the other cat crazy people.
Flattery will get you everywhere, Tracy. You know that.
I found that works. I found that's how I pry her away from the life that she's trying to have. She's going to be here as often as she possibly can. Some weeks when her real life will interfere, we'll have guest co-hosts. I must tell you, Elizabeth, it's almost funny in a way, but I'd invited someone to be a guest co-host, a veterinarian who had a feline-only practice. And after inviting the person and having them be enthusiastic, then I said, you know, whatever your opinions are about anything, it's all good by me. And having differences of opinion, even on the air, is good because people learn from that and we all grow from, you know, exchanging ideas. But there's just this one thing. And it's about dry food for cats. And I'm just, there's really no wiggle room there. It's like no kitty crack is sort of my mantra on the show.
Well,
so you with a feline only practice wouldn't ever recommend for the obligate carnivore dry food, would you, sir? Well, just in this case and that case and the other case, it was like, oh my God. So all of you listening, if you wonder, how do I pick people? There are so many wonderful vets out there. They're all dying to come here because what do people love? They love a chance to reach out to cat lovers and even to dog lovers, which might be listening to Cat Crazy. And we all love a chance to educate and share ideas and share information and, you know, have see light bulbs go off for people. Elizabeth and I have been doing this for many years on my other shows, and it really is a great feeling. I hope that Stan is going to call in later. Stan, if you're listening and you can't remember the number, it's 888-429-5471. He has bought your book, I think, because we've talked about it on the show, and has a diabetic cat and has some questions to ask you. But we'll wait a little while and see if he does call in before we get to his question. Now, I do have another question for you. Someone who wrote in, and it's not really a medical question, but as a cat lover yourself, you also used to breed champion Asa cats, which are so beautiful, and you had a feline-only practice. I imagine this is a situation that people might have come to you about before. And I only have one little tiny answer. I'm hoping yours is better than that. This is Susan, the adopted mother of Orange Kitty of Westbrook, Connecticut. He is in fine fettle and enjoying the spring weather. Thanks so much for all of your advice. We love your blog and show and have shared it with our pet-loving friends and family. Now, I have a question for you. To briefly refresh your memory, we adopted him 3 summers ago after our neighbor moved. She was caring for him when he was abandoned by his family who moved overseas. He's 17 or 18. You'd never know it. Even the vets thought he was 12. So he spends a lot of time outside, comes in to sleep with us and eat, of course, and we handle all of his vet arrangements. He appears to know the hood very well and is quite the survivor, if you get my drift. I used to say to her, you can't let him be outside, and she said, it's just what he's always done. We can't really do anything about it. He just goes nuts if he can't get out. There is a chance we may be moving to another neighborhood, but in town, possibly by the beach area. Of course, we want to take him with us. I'm just not experienced with cats, all in all, and I'm worried he may run away or try to get back to the old neighborhood. Any advice on the hows and whys of doing this? That's, to me, a pretty tough question.
Well, you're not going to be surprised, of course, that I have a solution that just happens to come from the company I work for. But as it turns out, I would have given you the same advice several years ago, even before I joined SIVA. One of the ways that people have found, and that there's a study that was conducted in Great Britain that showed that cats that are transplanted, if you will, from home to a new home. And in Great Britain, of course, cats are let out a lot. Matter of fact,
it's the law. You have to. Did you know that?
Yeah. They're kind of crazy about cats not being confined, but they have very different environments than we do here. But what they found is that these cats that were outdoors in their old home and were going to be outdoors in their new home were much less likely to wander off, not return ever, or not return for several days, which is common with cats that are transplanted. They'll go off, get into trouble, get lost, get in fights, then they drag themselves home. Well, they found that if they used feel-away in the new home, it was much, much statistically significantly less likely that the cat would, in fact, range far away from the new home and get into trouble. So that's something she certainly can try. Whether or not she's using Feel Away now, she needs to have it in the new home.
No, she's not using Feel Away because he's like a happy camper, outdoor kitty, comes inside at night, never had a day's problem. But he must, he insists, he must be British.
Right.
He insists on being outside.
If she uses it, I assume he does spend some time indoors.
And all
start
night.
Using Feel Away in the new home, then he will have a much, much greater affinity for the home and will be much less likely to have any problems getting lost or getting, interested
really
in leaving. Yeah,
that is so cool. And, you know, I never told you this question before. I've been saving this question until you were on the air with me, I have to say, April 29th. Sorry, Susan. I hope they didn't move yet. That's the date on this. But I was saving it for Dr. Elizabeth because I figured I really did not know this would be a use of Feel Away, but it's fascinating. Yeah. I thought just from all of your years with all the clients you had, if they moved, they'd ask you this question. So Feel Away is a pheromone spray. You know, it's one of the sponsors of the show. Happens to be the company where Elizabeth also works, but
and a diffuser, of course.
And a diffuser. So diffuser plugs in the wall and it has a refill and it lasts 30 days and then there's a spray. So Susan, this is your answer. Feel Away, Feel Away, Feel Away. Now where I'd like you to buy it, if you would, because it really supports the other co-hosts on the network, is from Dr. Sean Messonnier's petcarenaturally.com. He's got Feel Away spray and diffusers on his website. And if you would get it from him, it would make him even happier that Feel Away is one of our sponsors and make him more prone to have people in his own practice use it. Everything's a learning curve, and a lot of vets are aware of it, but they don't come up with it as, you know, a tool in their toolbox as often as they should. One quick word about Great Britain that I just couldn't believe. My editor, ironically, the editor of the Cat Bible, the most divine, marvelous young lady, moved to London with her husband, who was British by birth. And they were just going for a little while, and now they've totally moved there and had a baby. And she is a cat lover. I mean, she also edited the Dog Bible, but really her passion is cats. So she wanted to adopt a cat from the Royal Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. There were home visits, like we don't even have for human adoptions. And she had to sign a document that he would absolutely be allowed out. I said, Erin, you live on this beautiful little mews, like a little cobblestone street. I mean, charming, right off of normal London streets. I said, they insist that you let a cat out in the middle of London? She said, they claim they know how to protect themselves. And I've never saw a squash cat in London, but I didn't know that all these people's cats were outside by the law, almost. Isn't that funny?
Yeah. You know, and it's interesting, too, because I've been to London a few times. I know you have, too. And I have not observed very many cats outdoors in London. So I'm really wondering if Londoners just aren't a little bit more sensible about it. I know in the countryside, absolutely, the cats are out and about. But I don't know.
They would be. You're right. In Paris and Rome, you see feral cat colonies, even owned cats wandering about, meowing and looking in the trash. Well, that's a really great answer, and I'm thrilled about it. Well, how do you like this? We do have Stan here. Anybody else, if you have any questions or comments, anything at all you'd like to talk to Dr. Elizabeth and myself about, now's the time. 888-429-5471. And Stan, we're so happy to welcome you to Cat Crazy. How are you tonight?
Very well, thank you.
Hi, Stan.
Well, this is fantastic.
Can you hear me okay?
We sure can. How about you?
I had
you hear
a little bit
okay?
of difficulty getting into the website. It said something about the fact that I didn't have the correct Flash player or something, but I do have you on the phone.
You did it. Oh, but you weren't able to listen. I already said we're hoping Stan will call tonight. The right Flash player for anyone listening, but of course they couldn't be listening if they didn't get the Flash player. As far as I know, if it says that to you, then you just click download and up comes that Flash player. It's like, you know, Adobe or something. Here's how technical I am, Stan. I would wish I could just use a, like, you know, a manual typewriter. So next time, so when we get off of each other, go back and try it again and just click on
okay.
Listen now. And if it says you need a Flash player,
okay.
It happens for free and instantly. This is very exciting, though. Dr. Elizabeth and I were thrilled about your email about having read her book, Your Cat, and about Rudy, your six-year-old kitty cat. So tell about him and ask Dr. Elizabeth your question right here on the air.
Yeah, I had read the book, and of course I was, you know, just very, very interested in the protocol and all the answers that it provided to me. It's just a fantastic book.
Thank you so much.
What I did is I had to put my cat back. My cat began to develop diabetes again. And it was all my fault. I did not know any better. And my vet didn't tell me anything about it, but we went back to some dry food that my other cats ate. And I think this cat just got into some of the more, the kibble type food.
Yeah.
Even though I tried very, very hard to keep him completely on wet, you know, high-protein, low-carb food,
right.
I think he got into some of that high-carb food and got to a point where he began to develop diabetes again. And I can normally detect it just by the way he acts, more so than, you know, even doing a blood test. But then after I did a blood test, I saw that he was in the 250 to 260 range.
Yeah.
So,
let me just interrupt for one second. Let me just interrupt for one sec, Stan, and ask you a question before
sure.
Dr. Elizabeth helps you get Rudy on the path to health. If you,
yeah.
and I don't want you to feel bad when you say it was your fault the way it's the fault of 99% of all cat-owning people in this country, and it is definitely the fault of every single veterinarian who would acknowledge the possibility that you should be feeding any dry food with carbs to any cat. It's bad information,
I'm totally
bad
with
advice.
You on that.
So why do you still have it in your house for your other cats? I don't understand.
Well, I don't. I don't now. But, you know, it took – I think probably I'm with the wrong veterinarian. I'm in the Illinois area just outside of St. Louis, Missouri. And I go to a veterinarian here, and I – you know, they're just not knowledgeable about some of the things that were discussed very thoroughly
right.
within Dr. Hodgkin's book.
Right.
So, I was really, after reading the book and talking to my vet, educating them about, some of the things that I read in there.
And
I don't do it anymore at all. I mean, my
good,
cats
good.
Are all
good
on wet food,
great.
High protein, low carb. I will never go back to kibble food again.
Yay, Stan. Now listen, Stan, you got to listen. You have to send me your mailing address to radiopetlady@gmail.com. Well, you have my mailing address because you already wrote to me. And I'm going to send you a coupon for a $20 jug of precious cat litter because I am so excited that you wrote, so excited that you called, and so excited that you've kicked the kitty crack because everyone listening will get the message. Not only that Your Cat is a great book that everyone should have for all kinds of medical information.
Well, I was just over getting some additional food over at Walmart today, and a lady came up to me, and I was telling her about Rudy, and she said that she thinks she has a diabetic cat. And I spent 15, 20 minutes talking to her about Dr. Hodgkin's book, and I think she's going to go buy it.
I mean,
I can't tell you.
The other thing you can do is say to people, radiopetlady.com. They'll remember that.
I absolutely
then
will.
Get
I didn't know
all
about
the
it at the time because I came back and did some Google searches to try to find out how to get in touch with Dr. Hodgkin's, and that's how I got your name, Tracy. Tracy.
All good. Darned. How cool is Google? Thank you, Dr. Elizabeth. Thank you, Mr. Google. Everyone worries about Mr. Google spying on them, but he helps bring Stan and Rudy to us. I'm hoping, make pretend Elizabeth wasn't here tonight. It was her night off. I would be hoping that a six-year-old cat who had gotten off of insulin would be able to come off it again. Now, but Elizabeth's going to tell you, you say he's feeling kind of punk and not eating well. So, Elizabeth,
You know, it's funny. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I just want to ask Elizabeth if having a loss of appetite was one of the symptoms of diabetes. He's still a very young cat.
Well, yeah. Now, is this another cat, Stan? Is this Rudy we're talking about?
When you say another cat,
no, it's Rudy.
What do you mean by that?
We're talking about Rudy, and Rudy was not the cat that was diabetic before.
He is.
No, Rudy is the cat that was diabetic before.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
I have six cats, and only one of my cats has diabetes.
Okay. Now, you're testing it.
And it's Rudy.
I thought your email said that you were doing home testing. Is that correct?
I am, yes. And have been since the last time we had to put Rudy on insulin. And, you know, we had him on insulin for about 2 months. Yeah. And at the time we finished that episode, basically he went into remission.
Good.
And that's the point where I fouled up and, you know, got a little bit loose with the way that I put food down. My other cats are just used to walking up and eating food. And, you know, trying to isolate Rudy with six cats, even in a good-sized house like we have, is difficult.
Right, and at that time you didn't know that all cats should only eat canned food and only get two meals a day.
Right, exactly.
And they don't.
And, you know, like I said, I'm totally off of kibble food now. I don't have it in the house anymore.
Good.
We love you for that.
You may need to get Rudy back on the insulin, Stan, and
I do have him on insulin, you know, I went with PZI, everything is cool there. It's just that instead of going, you know, my veterinarian basically is one of those, and this goes right back to what you say in your book, that does this, you know, does the insulin injections every 12 hours.
Yeah.
And I want to do tight regulation.
Sure.
So, you know, they don't know a whole lot about tight regulation, so I kind of did this on my own.
Good.
And after I got the insulin prescribed by the veterinarian and got the insulin, I went, you know, to your last, page 276, and you show a chart there.
Right.
And in the previous pages, you talk about how tight regulation works. And that's the methodology that I've been using.
Okay.
But
so what's your question?
He wants to know when and how often feeding should occur under tight regulation relative to when insulin is provided. I'm reading from his email because in a moment we got to go to a break.
Right.
So he wants to know when and how often feeding should occur in relationship to insulin.
It doesn't matter. That's the beauty part of tight regulation, Stan. That's what I love about it most, because you are going to always know what a cat's blood glucose is before you inject insulin. You can feed at any time you wish. The necessity to feed in association with giving of insulin only is a problem, or is only required when you are not going to know what that blood glucose is. You see how that is?
Okay, great.
Veterinarians great. Make you
well,
feed.
I've been doing it about every 8 hours. It's difficult because Rudy's a big cat,
right.
And it's difficult to do one person to do the blood testing.
Yes.
I really need my wife here in order to get that done.
Sure.
Every 8 hours is pretty.
One the cat, and the other one, you know, does the pricking and you know the holding of the glucometer and doing the testing. So you know we interchange, but it seems like we end up having to have both of us there. So I can't really get it in six times every 6 hours, but I have been trying to get it in every eight.
Okay. Just be fairly aggressive. As long as he's getting no dry food, be fairly aggressive with your insulin. And then he can pretty much, as long as he's eating high protein, low carb food, you don't really have to worry about timing meals with your insulin injections. It's only if you're shooting blind that's a problem.
You know, I've had him on this tight regulation now for a week, and it seems like you know, it's bouncing back and forth. Is that to be expected,
yes,
Dr. Hutchins?
It actually is. They become quite quite volatile when you're trying to get them back into regulation, and you're trying to hopefully get him back into remission. Because his pancreas is sputtering. What's actually happening is the pancreas is actually putting out a little bit of insulin. And so what's happening is you've got a little bit coming from the pancreas. It's trying and trying to recover and heal. And you're also giving some. So some crazy things are going to happen. But just stay the course and make sure he doesn't get any of the high carb food.
That sounds advice.
I'm on it. I just wanted your reassurance, I guess, that, I was doing this thing the right way. Because, like I said, you get into a lot of detail on tight regulation, but there's a few other things about feeding that I didn't really see in there, and I couldn't find anything on the website.
Well,
so
here's what's great, Stan.
I should do the feeding.
What's great is you found the show and you found us, and we're thrilled about that. And just by talking about it, we're teaching other people. So I'm going to be waiting for you to send me your mailing address so you can get some Whole Life Pet all protein treats and that litter coupon. And we have to go to a break, but we're thrilled that you called. Please go back onto your computer and try to listen again, because we've got lots of more fun things coming up in the hour. Okay,
Stan, I want Stan to have my email address too, Tracy.
I'll give it
to
him.
You can give that
to him. I'll give it
to
him. Absolutely. Be my pleasure.
That's great, Dr. Hutchins. I really do appreciate that. Thank you.
It's our pleasure. We're very proud of you. You have a great evening.
I love what you're doing. It's just wonderful. I just had no idea how the right way to do this was, so thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for being there, because if you weren't there caring, then we wouldn't need to be here putting it out, right? I mean, really, it's a full circle, truly.
Thank you both. I really appreciate
your time. Thank you so much. We really do appreciate the effort you're making for Rudy and the other five. Gosh, there's five more that are never going to be diabetic now. How much do we love that? We're going to pop off to a break. When we come back, we have Robin from Covered in Cat Hair waiting to chat with us. Oh, dear, we're going to hear about Fred. I hope it's good news. 888-429-5471. Please join us when we come back. This show is supported by the pheromone products Feelaway for cats and Adaptil for dogs. Pheromones are chemical communicators that replicate a natural signal of comfort in your pet's brain. Veterinary behaviorists often recommend Feelaway and Adaptil as stress relievers to help solve behavior problems. Pheromones can help adopted cats and dogs make the adjustment and comfort new puppies and kittens experiencing the fear and loneliness of leaving their litters. Feelaway diffusers and spray for cats help with feline behavior issues in a multi-cat household. Look for Feelaway and Adaptil at RadioPetLady.com, where there's a discount to buy them from Dr. Sean's online store, PetCareNaturally.com. This show is also brought to you by Nordic Naturals for people and their pets. Nordic Naturals has been providing people around the world with high-quality omega-3 oils for decades, with third-party testing for purity and freshness. Research has shown that even the best diets are deficient in the essential fatty acids found in omega-3 oils, and daily supplementation helps maintain optimal health for all members of the family. Nordic Naturals Omega Pet products bring the same health benefits to the cats and dogs in your family when you add Nordic Naturals Omega-3 fish oil to their bowls every day. VaxiCheck wants to know, are you worried about the harmful side effects of over-vaccinating your dog? But is your vet worried whether your dog still has protection from previous vaccinations? VaxiCheck is a new blood titer test done right in your veterinarian's office while you wait. It shows whether your dog has immunity to the deadly core diseases, distemper, parvovirus, and hepatitis, and needs revaccination or not. VaxiCheck should be used on puppies to confirm whether their puppy shots really worked. Shelters should use VaxiCheck on new arrivals to separate healthy dogs from unprotected ones. VaxiCheck, for your dog's safety and your peace of mind. And VaxiCheck for cats is coming soon. In fact, I think it's coming in June, Elizabeth, the really great VaxiCheck for cats. That's going to save a lot of unnecessary vaccination of kitty cats.
Yep.
All of you out there, we have the wonderful Dr. Elizabeth Hodgkins, the brilliant author of Your Cat. Make sure when you buy your cat, you buy the one that says Dr. Elizabeth Hodgkins and not the name of another vet who stole her title, which I think was kind of tacky. Here's the number, 888-429-5471. And we have Robin from Covered in Cat Hair, one of our very, very special friends. Robin, welcome back to the show.
Hi, ladies. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, Robin.
Hi, sweetie. How's Fred doing? Those of you who've been listening every week know that Fred is one of her darling foster kitties. That's what Robin does, is save cats. And she went to the the Veterinary Cancer Center and got a diagnosis of lymphoma. Is that right?
Well, we did not get a diagnosis of lymphoma, actually. We ruled it out.
Yay!
Oh.
That's good,
well,
right?
Not really.
We're not left with anything good. That's the problem.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, we're left with FIP.
Yeah.
And sadly, Fred's doing very poorly.
Oh. He's still he's.
So but we are not giving up on him.
Well,
is he suffering?
He's not suffering at all. He can't walk anymore, but he can sit up and he's grooming himself, and we keep him nice and clean, and he's eating his nice food that I syringe feed him. And we're doing a lot of things to support his immune system, and we're doing the polyprenol immunostimulant. And today I learned about another product called LTCI that I don't know if Dr. Elizabeth is familiar with or not, but it supposedly is another immune booster that we may or may not try on Fred.
What does the acronym stand for? Do you know?
It stands for Lymphocyte T-Cell Immodulator.
Okay. Okay. The B and T cell modifying factors are many because the T cells, the subsets of T cells are many as well. And as time goes on, science is finding more and more ways to either upregulate or downregulate T cells as well as B cells. And so there are more and more of these very specific substances, cytokines they're called, that that do have some very, very interesting effects. And I'm not familiar with just how effective this one has been shown to be in cats with FIP. Does your veterinarian or does the you're going to a very well-known oncologist, right? Is that correct? Is that what I understood?
What we're trying to determine right now is if it is worth trying this.
Right.
And I'm to a point where, why not? What's it going to do? You know? It's not going to make him any worse, and he's got really very little hope right now. So I located where I can get it. It turns out the only place in the whole state of Connecticut happens to be at a clinic that one of my good friends runs.
I'll be darned.
Interesting.
What's the name of the clinic so I can just send a shout-out to them?
They are called the Nutmeg Clinic. They're low-cost. Bay and Neuter Clinic here in Stratford, Connecticut. They just opened a couple of months ago. They do dogs and cats very inexpensively.
And the Nutmeg Clinic.
Nutmeg Spay and Neuter Clinic, and they do wonderful, wonderful work, and they have this LTCI, and they said they could get it to my vet. So,
wow. Can I just ask a question? Can I ask a question that's more of a philosophical one than anything? I'm asking both of you, because you spend all your time and probably all your money, Robin, looking after, taking in foster cats. They might be well and seem well, and then they might be as ill as Freddie, or they might come to you with already compromises. And I understand how many people in rescue will go to the furthest, edge of the earth to do everything possible for animals that other people, even their original owners, might give up on. But what is he has no, he'll never regain the use of his body, right? I mean, he's basically got a fatal disease that there is no history or there's never been a story of a cat recovering from it, or am I wrong about that?
That part, you're wrong from what I understand. There's a company in Tennessee called SAS and SAS. They have something called polyprenol immunostimulant. It has been reported to work surprisingly on the dry form of FIP, not in every single case, but in some cases they have cats that are living out a year or longer with this therapy. So, yeah, is it going to be party time for Fred once again? Probably not.
Yeah.
But is it maybe can I give him an improved quality of life, regaining his ability to move around and regaining his sense of appetite? I can try.
Have you ever heard of someone having success doing that?
I personally worked with a few FIP cats that we used immune suppressants on, and we used cyclosporin. I've never used LTCI before. I understand some of my colleagues will use it for FIV and FELV. I haven't heard of it being used for FIP. It's not irrational. But immune suppressants like cyclosporin and steroids actually can sometimes, and I like cyclosporin. It's sort of an underappreciated drug in cat medicine, but cats are so immune volatile. You know, they get so many diseases that are associated with hyper immunity. You know, it's so easy to make a cat's immune system mad. I characterize it as a person who's been poked too many times. And that's how cats got into trouble with over-vaccination, is they just, we were constantly stimulating their immune systems, and cats' immune systems seem to be particularly easily provoked. And FIP is exactly that kind of disease, in that the original virus that causes it, you probably know this, the original virus that causes it is really not that bad a virus, but somehow it mutates and is able to make the cat's own immune system go just berserk. And that's what actually kills the cats, is these immune complexes that get deposited throughout the body. You know, the virus is there, sure, but it's really the collateral damage to the animal's own tissues from its immune system going crazy. So immune suppression can work, and I did see that work, never to cure, but to get remissions for a number of months, even as much as a year. And it'd be very interesting to see if LTCI will work in that condition. That if it's an antiviral, I'm not sure how that works. Because my understanding is that once you get the in FIP, once the cat's immune system has gone nuts, you know, it's pretty hard to close that barn door. But you're right, I think, Robin, that what have you got to lose, assuming that it can be obtained, you know, easily and affordably?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, right now, maybe we're going to be the first person, the first cat that fully mackerel we found something.
Sure.
That's a great reason for yourself and all the cats that will come into your life after Freddie, and for all the cats of people you know that are listening to the show, that read your blog covered in cat hair. I mean, that's a great reason in and of itself. You never do know, and if you're willing to be that pioneer and clean his little bottom and feed him with a syringe and go to the edges of the earth to get this, hooray for you. You know, really, I mean...
Half of what we do is education. Yeah, I mean, we've got to learn. I've got to learn as much as I can. So not only is it going to help Fred, but we already have another rescue group. I told them about the LTCI, and they said, holy mackerel, we have a cat suffering that may benefit from this, and they're going to get it too.
Right.
That's fantastic.
Good.
It's
good.
Fantastic. Robin, really... we all admire you so much for this. People who've owned
a cat for
10 years wouldn't go to the lengths you're going to for a kitty who just wandered into your life. You really have a great heart, and you obviously have lots of good people around you supporting what you're doing and doing everything they can to give you some success. And I think your success, whatever comes from this, will inspire the people around you. Even if it doesn't work, so to speak, you will have inspired a lot of caregivers, a lot of other cat owners, a lot of other cat rescuers. I think it's an inspiration for anyone to step up the way you do and say, what have I got to lose? Maybe give Fred some good months of his life. He deserves that. Mm-hmm. It's very touching, and it's so unselfish, right, Elizabeth? This is so not about Robin. It's so about Freddie.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you, Robin, you definitely deserve for him to get a reprieve after everything you've done. I mean, I pray for it. I really do. My gosh.
I wish. Every day, I keep looking at him. We're calling it Go Team Fred, and everybody knows that, you know, Team Fred's got to kick some butt now. We really need it. So
that's great. That's great.
We'll see. But, you know, you guys have been awesome, and I appreciate your support and your ideas and everything. I mean, I couldn't do this if I didn't have people like you to rely on for help.
Well, we really admire what you're doing, and we hope all the people listening will take a page from your book and realize that there is always some one more little thing you can do, even if it costs you time and money and energy, and it takes some part of your heart. But it also gives – it really does inspire everyone around you to try that little bit harder on whatever it is in life. And it may not even be a sick cat. It could be their homework. You know, really, it's just that when someone's willing to try as hard as you are, it really, I think, puts a really great energy into the universe. I really do. Yeah. So you keep calling us, sweetie, because we want to know about Freddie. We want to you know, be there to wave the flags for Team Fred. We're on Team Fred, too.
All right, good. Thank you, lady.
Have a great night, Robin. Thank you, Robin. Covered in
you
cat
too.
Hair. If any of you want to read her wonderful writing, I'm sure she's been writing a lot about Fred. You go to coveredincathair.com or you go to radiopetlady.com, go to the Cat Crazy page, and you will see she's a special friend. We have another special friend on the line. We're going to get to her in just a moment after we take a quick break. And then you're going to be hearing from Rosie at They Had Me at Meow, another fabulous blog and book. We'll be right back. This show is brought to you by Halo Holistic Natural Dog and Cat Foods, which are made from real ingredients you can recognize. Read the ingredients on the label of your own dry dog food. Can you identify what's in there? Halo uses real meat in their kibble, no rendered byproducts, chicken meal, or chemicals. The company emphasizes giving back by making donations to shelters through freekibble.com because Halo believes less fortunate felines and canines deserve great nutrition too. Halo is a private company, partly owned by Ellen DeGeneres, where they are genuinely dedicated to keeping your pet happy and healthy inside and out. This show is also supported by Platinum Performance Canine Wellness Formula, which is a comprehensive nutritional supplement for dogs. It provides a special blend of more than 55 nutrients to improve the health of each of your dog's 12 trillion cells. Healthy cells mean a healthy dog. In a scientific study of learning ability, the dogs who took Platinum Performance Supplement had better memory of new skills they learned compared to the control group of dogs that did not get Platinum Performance. To give your dog that mental edge, especially as she ages, go to RadioPetLady.com to get free samples and learn more. And there's a Platinum Feline formula for cats, too. Support for this show comes from The Honest Kitchen, a family-owned company that makes dehydrated pet foods from 100% human-grade ingredients. Lucy at The Honest Kitchen knows that the least processed foods are the most nutritious and developed her unique foods based on this principle. The Honest Kitchen's all-natural, clean, safe products can assist cats and dogs with chronic health issues like itchy skin, ear infections, and digestive problems, which are often linked to a diet of poor quality or highly processed ingredients. Just add water to the dry mix to create a fresh, warm, healthy meal for your cat or dog. Go to RadioPetLady.com to call The Honest Kitchen for a free consultation about which recipe is right for your pet and to get free samples. I am back with Dr. Elizabeth Hodgkins, the official vet of this show, and it is such a privilege and pleasure and fun to have her here to teach me every single time something I didn't know, and I love that. 888-429-5471. We have Rosie Thorensen, the author of They Had Me at Meow, who is the newest special friend of Cat Crazy. Hey, Rosie, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I'm happy to be a friend.
Well, we're happy to have you as a friend. Dr. Elizabeth, this is Rosie's self-description. She's a recovering psychotherapist who for 17 years has had a feral colony, and she does have a feral colony that had her at Meow, which is a charming book she's written. We're going to talk more about that another time. But, Rosie, are you concerned that so many people don't understand feral cats, and every so often there's an outburst in society about, get rid of all those cats, they're killing our birds, and so forth and so on?
Yes, it just makes me ill to think about that. The latest one, I was curious to know what Dr. Hodgkins thought about this. It's from the Smithsonian Institute, and they came out with a report, which I'm sure you're familiar with, saying that, you know, birds are responsible for killing like a billion, or cats are responsible for killing something like a billion birds, which, you know, when you look further at the research, and I've looked at some of the reputable cat sites and cat advocate sites, and apparently the research is really terribly flawed. The sample was small, and so I just wondered if Elizabeth has, you know, if you have any thoughts about that.
Well, I agree with what you've just said, that you hear words like billions of birds, and you know, I guess the report made it sound like just about all of them are on the endangered list. When you start reading that sort of thing, that much hyperbole is almost never true. And so you get really suspicious that somebody's got an axe to grind, that there's a big agenda, a lot more of an agenda than there is data. Yeah. And in fact, it's not a particularly scholarly article, if for no other reason than that it doesn't really discuss all of the causes of loss of wildlife, including, us building our suburbs into their environment.
Yeah.
And the hysteria, I mean, we're just such a crazy species, aren't we? We just get all, our knickers in a bunch about things, and then and then it dies down. You know, it's a big deal, and then it dies down, and there's some other crazy thing we're on. And it's unfortunate that people have to get, I mean, I was even reading some blogs where people were saying that we should go out and wipe out all the feral colonies. I thought, my gosh, that's scandalous. It's amazing that people would even think about resorting to that. So I'm with you absolutely that this is definitely someone's bully pulpit, I guess, but I don't understand how they can possibly have much credibility, and I can't understand how very many people are going to believe them.
And Rosie, I'm sure you also know that the Humane Society of the United States, which is based in Washington, D.C., as is the Smithsonian, although who knows where that writer hangs out, a billion birds. Right. Who's counting them? What do they do, count all the little claws that fall to the ground? I mean, how would they know it's a billion birds? Anyway, the Humane Society of the United States came out immediately vociferously against these claims and against these so-called solutions and is working very hard, as they have been doing for decades, to educate people that feral cat colonies are actually very safe and actually serve a purpose and a function. And and your colony is, thank God, in very good hands, and probably just, the occasional bird that falls out of the tree, perhaps they're interested in, but cats can't fly, so they couldn't be flying around and getting a billion birds.
Exactly.
I think it's important that we all realize this is not something to discuss at the dinner table if you have anybody who's a bird lover, an Audubon Society person, because they've probably swallowed some of this Kool-Aid that suggests, as Elizabeth says, that every endangered bird that, household cats gone awry are the ones bringing them down. I mean, hey, how about all of our polluted air and water? Let's think about that for a minute. That's a lot harder to deal with than feral cats. So why don't we just focus on the cats?
Habitat loss, et cetera.
All of the above, a lot of reasons that the birds are going elsewhere and don't want to hang around. Maybe we've had a migration away of a billion birds, but no one ate them. I think you also might have had a question for Dr. Elizabeth, which I'm sure she'd be happy to help with.
Well, I've been caring for this colony for the last 17 years, and they're all fixed. They all have names, and whenever they're injured, we try to get good medical care. But one thing that, we just can't afford to take every cat to the vet. We have about 25 cats there.
Wow.
And, and they're just great. I just love it. I'm just so gratified to see them every day, and that's why I wrote the book, because I wanted people to see them in a different light.
Yes.
And to not think of them as little critters to be killed, because they're so sweet and loving, and I've adopted four of them. So anything I can do to change people's hearts and minds. But one question I did have specifically is, what do you think is the best over-the-counter medicine for worms for these cats? We can't take all of them to the vet to have them wormed all the time. Do you have a recommendation?
My very favorite for my cats, and of course I'm a veterinarian, so I never really had to worry about OTC, is Drontal. I'm Googling right now.
And she's a multitasking woman. We love that about her.
It looks like you can get Drontal over the counter. So it's gone off the prescription status that it had when I was in my practice and got it you know, as a prescription drug. So that is my favorite. It's a tablet. You're able to handle your all of your cats, or at least put a tablet in a pill pocket or something, right?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure, that's easy.
Yeah.
That's very easy.
Cool.
They're all tame and social.
That's what I'd use. Drontol Plus. It's very, very good for cats. I mean, it's very gentle. Gets everything that's likely to be out there, and you can do it a couple of times a year without worrying about it.
Wow!
Oh,
excellent.
I appreciate that.
D-R-O-N-T-A-L.
So that's good for anyone to know. Anyone that doesn't, you know, that has a youngish cat and may feel they don't need to have that yearly vet visit till their cat gets older. Should all cats do that, Elizabeth, or only your outdoor cats?
Well, you know, that's interesting. It's a bit controversial. There are some veterinarians, even some parasitologists, that think that cats and dogs, too, ought to be dewormed monthly. And that's where you see these endo-ecto products, the Advantage product, excuse me, I'm trying to remember what the name of the Bayer product is. Trifexis is for dogs. There are a number of products that actually deworm dogs and cats on a monthly basis. I think for indoor cats and even outdoor cats, unless they are really in very filthy conditions, that's overkill. I think that's way too much deworming. I think these are drugs, and while they're relatively harder on the parasites than they are on the host, thank goodness. I think just monthly deworming of indoor cats is insane, and I never did it. I don't do it with my own cats. I think even feral cats that are living outdoors, probably twice a year is plenty.
Is that what you're doing, Rosie?
Great. Well, we haven't been doing much, only if we happen to have to take them to the vet for some other reason.
And then
we usually get deworming that way. But it's just out of, you know, it's been ridiculous to, you know, the amount of vet bills.
That's crazy. You don't need to take that on. It seems like that would be great if once or twice a year everybody got that pill pocket or whatever way you can deliver it.
Yeah, I think we can do that.
Since you know each of the 25 and they have a name and you've tamed them this much, you can, you know, take them aside for their special moment of their delicious wormer.
They would be more than happy to have a pill pocket.
And that's the only time we use any such product, let us point out. Yep. Only when it's absolutely necessary, not as a treat. Rosie, we're so glad you called. We're really thrilled to have you as a special friend.
Thank you.
I want to have you back on to discuss your book, They Had Me at Meow, but certainly anybody listening should go to theyhadmeatmeow.com and see your lovely book and look at your blog and just enjoy all that you do for these kitties. Thank you so much.
Okay. Well, thank you for all the work you do. I really appreciate it. Take care.
It's a pleasure.
Thanks, Rosie.
Keep listening. We'll talk to you again soon. Have a great night. We lost a call from Marcia. Marcia, if you're out there listening, please call back. We'd love to talk to you. But we have Pam calling in. Pam, welcome to Cat Crazy.
Cat Crazy, yes.
Are you?
I'm great. I wasn't sure of the deworming subject part.
Well, sometimes
I'm a cat lover.
Sometimes cats get worms. Are you a cat lover?
Yes.
And what kind of cats do you have?
I don't own any. I just like to pet sit.
Oh, that's nice. So you have neighbors who you pet sit for.
More elderly people that can't take care of them.
Well, that's really sweet of you, especially litter box and that kind of thing. That's a really, really nice thing to do. Great to have you as a neighbor. Well, I hope you'll keep listening. So now you know what Cat Crazy is. It's a show with myself, who wrote the Cat Bible, and Dr. Elizabeth Hodgkins, who wrote Your Cat. And sometimes when she's busy, we have other veterinarians to answer people's questions and help them out to live a better, healthier, happier, easier life with their kitties. So that's what we're here for, and we're thrilled that you're out there listening and that you're able to help other people, because for older people that own cats, it is a challenge. I mean, sometimes bending over to clean the litter box or bringing in a bag of litter, those sorts of things are really hard, you know? So you're a very good sport for doing that. We appreciate that, Pam.
Thank you.
How did you find the show?
It's on the phone number for Winfrey, I think it was.
I see. Well, we're really glad you called, and we look forward to you calling again sometime soon, okay? Have a great night. There was one more question I want to get to before we finish off, Elizabeth. There was a wonderful gal, Leah, who listens to every single podcast. She cannot listen at night because she takes care of her grandma who has Alzheimer's on the nights that her own mother isn't looking after her, which is really very touching. But her little cat, Callie, is her first cat. She learned immediately about kitty crack and wet food and how important that is. And she's just a real devotee. I talked to my friend Victoria today, and her cat, Sally, has some issues. First, Vic says she's not taking Sally off kitten chow because she's eaten it for 7 years and nothing has happened. No excessive shedding and her energy level is good. I tried to explain to her how you've helped me with this issue and she's hearing none of it. Many exclamation points. I was wondering if you could answer this or bring it up on one of your experts as to whether she should switch, even though it's been working for 7 years. Oh, God, Leah, it hasn't been working. The cat has simply survived having around-the-clock dinner of Fritos and Big Macs. This is a problem, people that don't get this, Elizabeth, that it's harmful even if the cat can survive it and doesn't appear to be harmed by it. How do we help people whose cats – a lot of people have switched off kitty crack because we explained it to them. There was nothing, quote-unquote, wrong with their cats, but they saw how much better they looked and felt and acted and were shinier and thinner off of it. What is our elevator speech to people who go, my cat's been on that forever, it's just fine?
Well, you know, I ask them, I say, do you know about nutritional problems in humans? Well, yeah. Well, do those manifest early in life? Well, no. I mean, when do we get heart attacks? When do we get diabetes? Now, admittedly, younger and younger kids are starting to get diabetes.
And obesity, yeah.
And obesity. But typically, nutritional diseases in any animal, human or otherwise, take a while to come on. It doesn't happen overnight. That's what's so dangerous about nutritional diseases. They are insidious, and they do cause damage on a very gradual basis. The problem is, of course, once you've got it, and I tell people, once your cat has diabetes, I bet you Rudy's dad, Stan, would have loved to have avoided all of this work and expense and heartache that Rudy's going through now. He knows now, like he didn't know before, that prevention was going to be by far the better approach. And that's why I tell people, I say, do you know anybody who died suddenly of a heart attack? Well, of course I do. We all do. Well, you're aware of the fact that it was bad lifestyle that set those wheels in motion. Well, yes. And that lifestyle started when those people were young. Well, yes. Same with smoking. So, you know, you just sort of give people examples in their own experience that they can understand.
Right.
And then ask them to apply that to cats. Your cat seems to be fine, but I promise you, inside that cat, bad things are happening because of what you're feeding. You're feeding garbage, and food and diet is the single most important lifestyle factor that any of us can control.
That's extremely well put. So you make the analogy to human nutrition and ask whether you would want to eat the equivalent of a fried corn chip every day, if that would be like a good idea for yourself, your grandma, your child. And don't you think that at some point you'll pay a price for that?
Exactly.
So I guess, and then, you know, then there's always the frustration of trying to educate secondhand. It's hard enough for you and me to do it, and we already have pretty good clarity on what our message is and how to get the idea across. And my heart goes out to any of our listeners who then try to tell somebody in the supermarket or their mother or their best friend, and they don't quite have the elevator speech worked out yet. So they only tell part of the story and they don't know how to defend the rest of it. So I always say, get your friends to call the show. That's the best way. Don't try and convince them. Let us do that. That's our job. We don't want to ruin marriages or friendships. Really. Because, I mean, how many times on Cat Chat people used to have these big old arguments, husband and wife. Don't interrupt your marital bliss and harmony. Send it our way. We will handle this. We promise you. We are very good at this. It's our specialty. Our intention is to save the world one cat at a time. And we've been very good at doing that, Elizabeth. I say pat on the back to us. We have – there, you know, it isn't as many billions as non-existent birds that have dropped out of the sky, but certainly an awful lot of kitties are now a lot healthier and are going to have much longer, healthier lives. And it's also people like Stan and like Robin who care and are willing to hear a different story and willing to change that are the ones who are really the heroes, I think.
Absolutely.
Don't you?
No, I do. I agree with you completely. And it is one cat at a time, because when I think about how many are still eating kitty crack, it makes me weep. So I have to think about the ones that aren't. That's all right.
When I first met you, you were despairing because you thought in your lifetime you'd never get the message across. And the beauty of the internet is that this show, whoever's listening tonight can tell their friends to listen to a podcast tomorrow. 3 years from now, someone can hear a podcast of this show on the Radio Pet Lady Network Library and get the message then. It's never too late, not for the people and not for the cats. There's no age at which you say, oh, never mind. You know, grandpa's been smoking a pack a day and drinking a bottle of vodka a day forever. Might as well just let him go to his grave that way. Not really. The sooner you get off kitty crack, the closer you get to recovering some of your health. So anyone who doesn't have Dr. Elizabeth's book, Your Cat, should be very happy to pick up a copy of that. And Elizabeth, I think you're with me next week again, I do believe.
I am probably going to be in the air.
She's going to be airborne. Oh, that's right. We have everyone is a very nice substitute, but there's nothing quite like the real Elizabeth. Oh. So we look forward to the next time that you're not in the air and not circumnavigating the globe on behalf of animals' wellness everywhere. But it's always such a pleasure to spend time with you. Dr. Donna Spector and I are discussing allergies tonight, the truth about allergy testing. So that's something to look forward to. We'll talk to you all next week. Thanks, Elizabeth. Bye for now.